Francois. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Traveling with Francois. It's great to have you with us today on this Sunday afternoon. I am Francois Rhodes, your host. Joining us in the boardroom is Sean Flanagan. Hey, Sean.
Hello, hello.
All right, okay. So
I always want to say good morning, and it's like...
I know.
It stalls me every time.
Yeah, well, but it is going to be a good morning to our Arizona folks,
because
they hear this at 8 o'clock in the morning. Go figure that. Ever put that in your head, everyone.
Yeah, that's going to make it even worse now.
Yeah, and that has nothing to do with the solar eclipse either. That's coming up. Yeah, so, well, great to be here, as always. The first hour of the show, we had Mayor of Palm Desert, Jan Harnick, join us. It was a very interesting conversation. I didn't even get as far as I want. How could half an hour go by so fast?
It did. It went by very fast.
I tell you, it certainly did. But today on the show, we are going to kind of shake things up a little bit. We're going to go to Hollywood, in a sense, with author Brian Clune. It's either Clune, C-L-U-N-E, or Clune. We'll find out for sure. And we're going to talk about his book, Death, Murder, and the Paranormal Aftermath, Hollywood Obscura. And there have been some strange things that have happened in Hollywood over the years. Yeah, back in the 1930s, all sorts of weird stuff. And we're going to see how he, what he has done to delve into this area and tell us more about it. Says he's involved with numerous TV shows, including Ghost Adventures, My Ghost Story, Dead Files, Ghost Hunters, and more.
It's a lot of ghosts.
A lot of ghosts, but I've had an encounter with a ghost.
Have you?
Yeah. I'm not going to talk about that right now, though. We're going to hold off because we have a bunch of other things. Yesterday on KESQ, I was there on TV doing, I featured the back roads to Las Vegas through the Mojave National Preserve. I told everyone, if you want the directions, send me an email. I'm offering it to you here, all my radio friends, that if you want the directions, the back roads through the Mojave Preserve, you can go to the website, Traveling with Francois, and after you're done signing up for the contest, there's the over 2-night stay in Carlsbad on the website, by the way. Sign up for that. And looking at all the other information, maybe watching a couple television shows, past episodes, you can do that there as well. Send me an email, and I will send you the directions to the back roads to Las Vegas through the Mojave National Preserve.
I want to add to that, because you're saying directions, but there's more than directions in there.
Right, right.
It's not just directions are a simple Google search. You have a service that you're offering right now.
Well, I did it because I started thinking about it after showing it on television.
Right.
And I said some things on TV that I want people to know. First of all, it's a 2-lane highway,
right,
which bothers some people tremendously. They can't stand that. But there's not a lot of cars out there. But you're always going to come across one car you're going to want to pass.
That's going about 10 miles below the speed limit.
Yeah, exactly. There's no one out there, and they're going really slow. But there are, you know, there's no spotty cell phone service in some ways, but not really bad. There's just one area where it goes out for about 5 minutes, 5 or 6 minutes. Your GPS works all the way through. There is a rest stop at the Kelso, the old train depot, new restrooms. I put all this on the directions so people know. So I want them to know that you're not on a freeway, you're not on a busy road, you're on a road that even though the ranger station gets 200 people a day during the summer.
Right. Yeah, I remember you said that.
But it's weird because the cars are so few and far between, and there's a possibility of flash floods.
I could see that.
So I tried to put everything on there that I could think of, because I don't want people just think they can hop on that road.
That's what I want to say. I'll just say directions.
Well, thank you.
They're going to be like, I can get directions from Google.
Thanks, Sean, for pointing that out. Right. And there was one other thing I added to the list, but I don't remember what it was. But anyway, yeah, I just felt it was important, because I had a few comments back from the gal saying, oh, Francois, I don't know how you did that by yourself. Well, when I was going through Amboy area, a policeman was out there patrolling. There are policemen that patrol those roads out there.
Right.
And he thought there was a group of about 3 of us that seemed to kind of be going to same speed limit. We all sort of just hung together. And he followed us for 10 minutes. I thought, really? Here I am out in the middle of nowhere, and there was a patrolman. So, but it was fine. He was just doing his job, and I think he's just out there cruising around. So if you want that information, again, go to the website. Send me an email. I'm happy to send it to you. Today on the show, we do have a last time I'm giving away passes for Comic-Con Palm Springs. These are three-day passes, general admission passes. That's it. I will be out of them, because next weekend I will not be here. I will be in Nashville for the total solar eclipse and just, frankly, to visit Nashville with the adult customized tours and film that for an upcoming television show. And speaking of the television show, we are running the Pageant of the Masters, I think, one more time, and that's it. And then I'm going to replay the Lake Henshaw Mount Palomar, and then I'll bring back the Carlsbad show, and then we'll have the new Nashville show, and I don't know, lots of stuff going on, so it's all good stuff. Today's show is presented by McDonald's Restaurant, so covering the entire Coachella Valley. And let me see. I think that's that for that. I had a couple emails that I wanted to read, and this one is from Gianna Carrick, who says, Jean Anna. Dear Francoise, thank you. My sister and I had so much fun in Laguna Beach. Our seats were magnificent. We stayed at Hotel Laguna, very old place, but quite charming, and within walking distance to the pageant. Again, thank you. So I gather Gina enjoyed the Pageant of the Masters.
I enjoyed it, and I just watched it on TV yesterday.
Yeah. Well, and she was one of our lucky winners. So good for you. I'm so happy that you like them. And then we have another email. This is from Gina Edwards. She said, hello, Francoise. We enjoyed our coffee and watched the show this morning. Very informative. We've never been to the festival. We've spent a lot of hours in Laguna, but always walking around the town and drinking coffee at the quirky cafes. And she has known several people because she worked out in that way, out in that area. She loved the clothes I was wearing. Thanks so much, Gina. She loved the outfit. And she liked the fact that I had more bracelets and rings on.
I liked one of your little watches. Your little Rastafarian watch. That looked really nice.
You saw the rainbow color face on it? Yeah, I'm getting used to looking at it. So thank you, Gina E., for the comments that you liked the show and you liked what I was wearing. Well, see, you never know what people are going to pick up when they watch something. Now, Sean, you went to one of my past television episodes. You went to the California Science Center.
Yes, I did. I took me, my wife, and my daughter, and then a friend of mine and her son.
And what did you think?
We had fun. We had a lot of fun.
I find it very interesting.
I do, too. I think that I've never, like, even as a kid, I've never been into, you know, the science stuff, but at the same time, it's all really cool to me. It's fun to see how things work.
Yeah,
I've never been one to really get into chemistries and different sciences, but I find it fascinating how things all work. And I think that the museums that are maybe quote unquote geared for kids are perfect for me because it helps me understand everything I'm looking at.
Well, I enjoyed them all too because you don't have to be a rock and science. Nope. When it comes to X minus Y plus Z equals whatever, I have no clue. And they do it in such a way that even as an adult, you don't have to admit it to the kids, but even as an adult, you can grasp and understand very easily and enjoy what you're seeing there.
Yeah.
And be part of it with all the interactive exhibits and whatnot.
And I think it's just, I mean, it's cool. Like with the stuff, you know, I was telling my daughter with the stuff, you know, I'm like, this stuff was in space. Like this, you know, if you don't like, you know, astrology and stuff like that, that's fine. Just wrap your head around the idea of where this was at before it was here.
For me, I know a lot of people like the kelp reef.
I really like tanks. So that was fun, too.
That was fun.
I don't know why I like tanks so much, but I like giant tanks.
Giant tanks. Well, and then you get to go underneath and walk through the big tunnel. Yeah. But I have to say, I was still, and I'll say this again, I have to say the space shuttle left me kind of speechless. I think the enormity of what the space shuttle has accomplished and where it's been,
right,
to be sitting in that room is quite amazing. Oh, yeah.
And the way they set it all up was really cool, too. You know, the missions all the way around. It was really cool.
Well, good for you. You get an A+ for going.
There you go.
That's good. So glad. Well, we're talking about, of course, solar eclipse coming. I have my books that listener Dan Scanny and Carol sent me. I have some little tips that I'm going to give you later on. But here's something that I found that I thought, oh, we're always discovering new things in this world of ours. It says here, it's official, an Argentine dinosaur as heavy as a Boeing 737 is the biggest ever discovered. Now, the behemoth weighed more than 65 tons and perhaps as many as 77. A new study says that makes the animal not just the biggest known dinosaur, but also the biggest known land animal ever. Only a few whale species are heftier, and this dinosaur's bones show it was still growing. Okay, scientists have named this gigantic vegetarian, yes, he was a vegetarian, Patagotitan. Patagotitan, yes, that is his name, and he was found in the Argentine region of Patagonia. So, very, very interesting. A dinosaur that is still growing as heavy as a Boeing 737. I would love to stumble across something out traveling. I'm always looking for things. I don't know what it is. I should have been an archaeologist. What?
I said like oil?
Well, yeah, that would be nice too. And gold and silver and whatnot. But
bones would be cool too.
I can't even imagine how exciting it would be to and hopefully recognize that you stumbled across something, whether it's old pottery or remember when we were kids, we'd go out in the desert and find the arrow, the obsidian, the arrowheads. Yep.
I'm from the Northwest. Of course I remember that. We did a lot of that.
Yeah. I don't know. That would be very, very exciting. Now, here's something else, kind of completely opposite of what we're talking about there. But if you'd like to be a volunteer over at a state park, the Salton Sea Visitor Center, they are looking for volunteers. And you volunteer through the state park. Now, remember, the Salton Sea is getting millions of visitors now every year because of all the attention it's getting.
Right.
So you would not be bored out there. And it's you get to look at the ocean. You're out in the desert, and you get to look at this gigantic sea every day. But if you're interested in this, write this number down, 760-393-3059. That's 760-393-3059. I will make sure it is on the website. I think it is on the website somewhere. I'll have to check it out. Okay, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we have industry news. I'm going to give away those tickets to Comic-Con, Palm Springs. It happens August 25th through 27th. And we have a lot more going on. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. All right, this segment of the show is brought to you by the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, offering free programs and services for seniors and others living with vision loss, macular degeneration, glaucoma, and other vision conditions. Now, their programs are closed for the month of August. However, the Braille Institute is open, so definitely go on over there. They have an audio library that's huge. And they're just everyone's so nice over there. And take advantage now. Don't wait till your vision loss is so bad or it's going to be a little bit more difficult. Try to go now. 760-321-1111. And they are located on Ramon Road in Rancho Mirage. And their information is on the website Traveling with Francoise. All right. I have 2 3-day passes. These are the last ones that I am giving away. I have a whole list of winners. You have won them on Facebook. You have won them on the website. And this is it on the show as well. This is the last pair of tickets. 2 3-day passes to Comic-Con Palm Springs, August 25th through 27th. They have a huge lineup of people there that are going to be performing. Linda Carter's going to be there. They have all these different kind of, they are comic book designers and illustrators and writers and all this sort of stuff. It's bigger and better than ever. Give us a call, 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255. If you want to go to Comic-Con Palm Springs, August 25th through 27th, again, these are 2 3-day general admission passes. So the lines are open right now. All right, and alerts and warnings out there in the world of travel. Well, there was an alert for North Korea on August 2nd. Well, that has been elevated now to a warning. Do not go to North Korea, really. If you don't need to travel there, now is certainly not the time to go. There's also a warning, and warnings are definitely the next elevation up from an alert. A warning is really don't go there. Alert is to just be, you know, aware of what's going on around you. But there's a warning in Somalia as well. If you don't need to go to these places, please do not go. All right, travelers love experiences relating to their favorite shows and movies, including visits to filming locations. Fans of the popular Game of Thrones can choose tour packages for Croatia and Northern Ireland to see the show's locations and choose a Hilton property for lodging. So there you go. If you are a Game of Thrones fan, now you can just go and experience where many of the show is filmed at. Also in the industry news, agents are well positioned to help young travelers experience community-focused trips by linking their clients with volunteer projects at socially conscious destinations. Millennials are making money now, and they're saying, let's travel, but do some good, have a positive social impact as well. So that's from Josh Cameron of CV Humanitarian Travel. And chronic overcrowding in some of Europe's beloved tourism hotspots is fueling an angry backlash from polite protests to go home, graffiti, and even physical intimidation across southern Europe, from the choked boulevards of Gaudi's Barcelona to the swarms of cruise liners disgorging passengers into Croatia's medieval Dubrovnik. Residents are complaining that a sharp rise in tourism is making life intolerable. That is so sad to hear, because a lot of these places, the tourism is what they survive on. But right now, travelers are spending a lot of money, and they're out there traveling. International travelers spent $20.8 billion on travel to and within the United States in April, more than a 3% increase over April of 2016. The first 4 months of 2017 are the highest for foreign tourism spending on record. And Chinese tourists, well, let me back up just a minute there. We all recall during our last political campaign, and there were so many things being thrown out there that it was said that once, if Donald Trump came into office, that people were going to quit traveling to the United States.
Quit traveling to the United States?
Yes. They were going to quit coming to the United States because of all sorts of fears and whatnot. Well, that has not happened. In fact, if anything, there's been a 3% increase. I'm not saying because of him.
Right.
He didn't do it. What I'm saying is it really did not phase
change,
anybody.
Right.
Yeah. It didn't change anything. They make all these predictions, like the solar eclipse, that it's going to bring the world to a stop, and it's not going to bring the world to a stop. It's some people don't even care. A lot of people do care because it is a big thing, but it's going to happen again in another 3 years.
Yeah.
But in South America.
I think it's cool to see.
Yeah.
I feel like I remember it once when I was a kid. I was in like 7th or 8th grade.
Yeah.
So and I feel like that was the last time I saw it.
It's the first one in 99 years to sweep the U.S. That's what's making it so unique. It's going to sweep the U.S. But they happen all the time. They happen every couple of years, but they don't sweep the U.S.
Right.
So that's what's making this one so different. Okay. Other news here. Chinese tourists spent more on international travel than any other country in the world last year, despite weak currency and slowing economic growth. International tourism expenditure in China, the world's biggest outbound tourism market, grew 12% to $261 billion in 2016, as per a report by the United Nations World Tourism Organization. Wow. Those are some big, big numbers. All right, so I have the eclipse information in front of me. Like I said, this will be the first one in 99 years here to sweep the U.S. The last total solar eclipse in the U.S. was in Hawaii in 1991. But we were talking about the path, Sean, on which it's going to take, and it will begin near Lincoln City, Oregon. Do you know that?
Yes.
You know that. You should be in Oregon. Now you're going to plan a trip. Now's the time
to go. Now you sound like my mom.
There. And as the lunar shadow makes its way into the U.S., the path will be 60 to 70 miles wide. Closer to the center, the longer the totality. Totality will cross from Oregon into Idaho, Wyoming, Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, North Carolina, and finally South Carolina.
I think it's going to be really cool. Very cool.
My Siri all of a sudden started talking to me on my phone. I guess she wanted to tell us about it. Said the eclipse will last longest near Carbondale, Illinois, approximately 2 minutes and 40 seconds. The biggest city in the path include Nashville, Columbia, and Charleston, South Carolina, Salem, Oregon, Casper, Wyoming, and just barely within Kansas City. And like I said, here in California, it's going to be happening in the morning, and we're just going to kind of get the bare tip of it going on. We're going to get it, but not as strong as those cities that I just named. So again, if you miss the August 21st eclipse, you'll have to wait 7 years to see another one in the continental U.S. The very next total solar eclipse will be in 2019, but you'll have to be below the equator for a glimpse. We're talking about South Pacific, Chile, and Argentina. So this is not the end of the world. These happen all the time. I think it's funny that, they're just hyping so much. We were even worried about taking the bus back to the airport in Nashville. Our plane doesn't leave until 5, and Dixie was saying, Francoise, maybe we should leave at noon. We won't, because it's only, I think, half an hour away or 40 minutes away from the hotel.
Right.
But she said, what if the streets are clogged? What if we can't move? What if we can't go anywhere?
It's going to be fine.
I think it's going to be fine. Yeah. I thought the plane left at 2:30. Obviously, good travel person I am. I didn't even look to see when we're coming back. I just knew it was sometime on Monday. Right. Here's some more news for you. I thought this was kind of interesting. 54% of global travelers say trying local food is their favorite thing about visiting a new destination. I like that.
I do, too.
I like the local foods, though. I don't travel and want to go to Applebee's.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, If I'm going to go, I ask around. I say, where do the locals go for dinner? Where do the locals go for breakfast? Where do they go for lunch? And I ask people on the street. And then you can also see some of the restaurants that are a little out of the way that are really crowded and get a feel that it's not travelers.
Right.
Oh. Well, anyway. That's a lot of people feel the same way. All right, here's some other news. Disneyland Railroad to return to Disneyland. Remember the railroad that they used to have?
Along the outskirts, right?
Right. Well, yeah. It's coming back. They will find passengers will find a breathtaking view of the Columbia Gorge and its waterfalls from a new trestle that extends across the river. When I first read this, I have to laugh. I make fun of myself because I thought, wait a minute, Disneyland's putting a railroad system across the U.S.?
Well, it threw me off, too, because you said Columbia Gorge, and that's like where I'm from.
Well, but it's going to be a fake one, not the real one. But anyway, they're bringing back the train because people loved it. They had so much fun, and I think it's a good experience for people to hop on a train and for kids to ride it and see what train rides are all about. And speaking of Disneyland, they are to grow to 7 cruise ships now. They announced at their recent D23 Expo that its fleet would grow to 7 ships by 2023. And that is a lot of ships. So good for Disneyland. They are growing. And I know someone who just went on a Disneyland cruise. She said there's no gambling aboard. They are different than a regular cruise line.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
And she said even though they're geared towards children.
I'm sure there's plenty for the adults to
there's
do.
A ton for the adults to do, but it is different. So if your travel agent is trying to put you on a Disney cruise, make sure that it has everything that you want on there. Ask some questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. All right. On that note, we're going to step aside and we come back. Brian Clooney. Is that right? Clune. See, I'm messing with my own head. He'll be joining us. We are going to talk about Hollywood Obscura, his book here. We're going to find out why he's involved with all that and more. You're listening to Traveling with Francois right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francois. I am Francois Rhodes. All right. Joining me now, as promised, is author Brian Clune, and he is the co-founder and historian for Planet Paranormal Radio and Planet Paranormal Investigations. He is the author of the book Hollywood Obscura, Death, Murder, and the Paranormal Aftermath. Hi, Brian.
Hi. How are you?
I am fine, thanks. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Fantastic.
Beautiful day, and I'm on with you. So couldn't ask for anything better.
All right. Well, I was reading all about you and things that you have been doing in your life, and very, very interesting. So before we talk about your book, I want to talk a little bit about you, Brian. How did you get involved with what was the starting point for all your interest in paranormal and strange things that happen in this world?
Well, believe it or not, I really wasn't that interested in the paranormal. I used to watch some of the TV shows with my oldest son, and at one point, after he turned 18, we were kind of drifting apart, and I went up to him and asked him if there was something that him and I could do together so we could kind of reconnect. And he said, let's go ghost hunting. And I kind of gave him this bizarre look, and I was thinking to myself, okay, I think he needs a psychiatrist. But because I wanted to, be part of his life, I thought, all right, fine. And I went online, looked for a couple paranormal teams, and found Planet Paranormal, and we joined the team, and he was on there for a little bit with the team, and then he kind of thought, okay, this isn't what I thought it was. He got away from it, and I was having so much fun, I just stuck with it, and I've been doing it ever since. It gets kind of habit-forming, to be perfectly honest with you.
So do you believe, Brian, in the paranormal? Do you believe in ghosts and afterlife and all those things?
When I first started, not too much, and the team actually used to make jokes about me because I'd be walking around during the investigation saying, I'm not getting anything. I don't feel anything. And literally nothing was happening. And then one night on the Queen Mary, I was walking by myself down into the change room in the pool area, and I had a spirit literally growl into my ear. And as I came walking back out of the change room, the rest of the team, because they heard it, and they were just cracking up. Apparently, with the look on my face and the fact that I was walking a little faster than normal, they just thought it was hilarious. But ever since then, I've started to, I guess, open myself up a little bit more. And now I'm a firm believer that there are spirits, that there is an afterlife. And it's all because of that one incident.
Well, and that's interesting you bring up the Queen Mary, because I brought it up earlier before we had you on, that my most vivid experience was on the Queen Mary itself in a room. My room, I had a large stateroom there for one of my shows, and the drawers would open every time I'd leave the room and come back. The drawers would be open. I'd leave the room, I'd close them, come back. And the ship there is stationary. It does not move. Doesn't move with the tide. It's not moving. So I couldn't blame it on that. And after a while, I said, you know, something is odd, really odd going on here. And other people have said the same thing. So that's really, what you're saying is fascinating. And also, a friend of mine worked in a resort, an old resort in Las Vegas, and he, all of a sudden, these paranormal or ghosts started calling his name. And he said it just became commonplace every day. So now you are doing this. You have all these things going on. You've written all these books. How does your life, tell us how your life is based around your work here with the paranormal?
Well, I actually started writing because my buddy Bob, he's the founder of Planet Paranormal. He saw me writing one day, and he kind of started glancing at it, and he goes, dude, you're actually really good. And I kind of looked down, and I went, no, I don't think so. He goes, no, seriously, you're pretty good at this. And I kind of poo-pooed it. And after a while, he'd start asking, hey, let me see what you're writing. And he would look at it and goes, dude, we need to see about getting you published. And I kind of thought, all right, well, what do I have to lose? And I sent some proposals out to a few publishers, and Schiffer finally picked up our California's Historic Haunts book. Mm-hmm. And Bob helped me not only write that, but we, you know, took a bunch of trips to get the pictures for the book, and it kind of got me into travel as well. So I started to realize that, all right, if I'm going to travel to these places, if I'm going to write about these places, I really need to start learning about history. Mm-hmm. And once I started learning about history, I became hooked. And I literally, all I do now is go to work, come home, write, research. And I often joke about the fact that I think I started writing as an excuse to do research.
There you go.
So it, yeah, it, and unfortunately now my head is just full of all these ideas for books.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing. And I gather Bob is a real person, not a ghost.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder, but okay. Yes, he is.
All right, well, let's talk about your book here, because you were going from ghosts and paranormal to your recent book, Hollywood Obscura. Now, what does obscura mean?
The short answer would be something out of the ordinary, something just on the periphery of your vision, something that is not there but is there. I know that's kind of a weird way of putting it, but in this case, I kind of mean it as the veil to the other side.
Okay, because I know the word obscure, and when I was making my notes, all of a sudden it caught my eye, because I had originally wrote obscure, and I said, wait a minute, it's not obscure, it's obscura. So, and I thought I found that interesting. Now, this book is about death, murder, and the paranormal aftermath. Now, you have in here a lot of incidents. Well, you know what? I'm going to let you describe what your book is about to our listeners.
Okay, well, the book itself is kind of a conglomeration of a few different genres. You have true crime, because most of the stories all involve either a murder or a possible murder. it has the mystery aspect of it. It has Hollywood Scandal, and it has paranormal. So you basically have all of these genres mixed into one book. And when I started writing it, it really didn't start out that way. But usually when I write, I always kind of say that I'm not the author, I'm just the typist. So when I start to write, it's almost as if the story itself is telling me what to write, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking through the book. I have your book here, right? And I happen to open to your part about Natalie Wood. Of course, I was in Catalina when that happened. It was we were in our boat in Catalina. We were in the harbor. We were in Avalon when that happened down at
Two Harbors,
right? And it was all the talk about what had happened, and of course the argument. And I mean, everyone was certain that she fell off the boat drunk, because they were drunk when they left the bar. So a lot of things did happen. How did you pick your subjects for the book here in Hollywood? Because you talk about several different John Belushi, Tupac Shakur, Biggie Small, Marilyn Monroe, many different people. What is your take? Why is your book different from us just reading this about this event in another book?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of other books and television shows and things like that, they tend to go with sensationalism.
Mm-hmm.
Where what I tried to do is state the facts as I found them. Now, Natalie Wood is kind of an interesting case because the case has actually been reopened, all due to the captain of the Splendor coming out and saying that he had new information regarding Robert Wagner and what happened that night. And a lot of that has not actually been written before in the way that I do it. I know that sounds kind of odd. I mean, it's been out in the news, of course, and you hear the news articles and things like that. But I kind of tried to put it into a narrative that people might be able to understand a little bit better. I mean, there are some very bizarre things that happened with the Natalie Wood case. They waited so long before they would even call the Coast Guard to go look for her. There were witnesses that had heard her in the water. And then RJ himself said that, oh, well, she got into the dinghy to, go back into Two Harbors because we had a fight. And that doesn't quite seem right, considering Natalie had a tremendous fear of dying in black water ever since she was a child. So there's just so many different things revolving around that case that just fascinated me. And I'm kind of hoping that I wrote it in a way where it'll fascinate the reader as well.
Well, yeah, there is that. That one has always fascinated me just because we were there. But I think what people do forget, too, and I know this isn't about Natalie Wood, but when you're in a powerboat like that and those generators are running, you really can't hear what's going on outside. And frankly, if they were down below and those generators were nearby and she was screaming, they're not going to hear it. It's there's some weird stuff going on there. But getting back to your book here, which is Hollywood Obscura, I find very, very fascinating. All your thoughts about the paranormal, what's going on, these murders. Now, why did these murders intrigue you? I mean, you've picked some that go way back in time. We're talking Bugsy Siegel, excuse me there. What was it?
Not a problem.
How did you pick your subjects for your book here?
I basically started off with some of the cases that I remember from the past, like Thelma Todd. One of the things that I remembered about Thelma Todd was that I lived close by to where she had passed away. So I was thinking, well, this is kind of cool. Maybe I can swing by, take a look. And once I did that, I was like, all right, this is a cool building. This is a cool story. And then I started to do research on it and found the whole weird thing with the Joyita, which was a ship that she was associated with. Marilyn Monroe, of course, you know, she had always been this bigger than life starlet who everybody kind of treated her almost as if she was a child, and she really wasn't. So that intrigued me. And I actually fell in love with Norma Jean Baker as I was writing the story mm-hmm. and doing the research, because she is definitely not what people think she was. One of her main problems was is that she had bipolar disorder, the same as her mother. And that was one of the reasons why she had problems on the set and things like that. And back then, the movie studios were just saying, well, here's some Nebutal, take it. And, you know, that kind of didn't help with her bipolar disorder. Tupac and Biggie, that, believe it or not, I heard a Tupac song, and I was thinking, I wonder. And so I went and did some research with that and realized, okay, this is kind of cool. And the reason I put Biggie and Tupac in the same chapter was once I started researching, I realized that these two, their life was so intertwined that there was no way I could actually separate the two into two chapters, that I needed to keep them together. Mm-hmm. And so it was, you know, John Belushi. I grew up watching him on Saturday Night Live. So he was one of the first ones to pop into my head. Oh, I wonder if John Belushi has any paranormal activity associated with him. So I kind of started with the paranormal and worked my way back into the history and the scandal and the murders and possible murders.
Well, Brian, I really appreciate you. We're going to have to go to break now. Thank you so much for calling in. Where can people find your book?
You can order it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or any of the actual brick-and-mortar Barnes & Noble stores, and a lot of bookstores, indie bookstores around the areas.
All right, and we're going to be giving a copy away as well. Brian, again, thanks so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Good luck on all your endeavors, all your ghost hunting, and keep me posted on what's happening.
Will do. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right, folks, we're going to have to step aside. When we come back, we're going to be giving away a copy of Hollywood Obscura right here on Traveling with Françoise. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. And we want to thank Brian again for joining us, talking about the paranormal. And I would think once you start writing about stuff like that, you would get hooked.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's just a fun subject.
Right.
Whether you believe, whether you don't believe, it's still a fun subject.
Well, you kind of have to. When I had those few weird things happen to me, and my friend John telling me about the weird stuff that happened to him,
right.
And you have to believe something.
Yeah.
But who knows?
I'm still waiting for something to happen to me.
Are you? Okay. Well, it will. It might have. You might have ignored it.
Maybe.
Get away from me. Yeah. All right. We do have a copy of, but you are going to have to pick this up. So if you want it, I will leave it at Swiss Donuts. I'll give you all the details in Rancho Mirage. But we do have a copy of Hollywood Obscura for you to win. Just give us a call, 760-440-8255. That's 440-8255. And Sean will take the second call or something. We'll win this book. But again, you will have to pick it up, and I will leave it at Swiss Donuts, but I will give you all the directions. All right, this portion of the show is brought to you by Angel View Marts throughout the Coachella Valley. I'm, in fact, driving through 29 Palms, and I saw a big sign for Angel View, and I thought it was a new building, but I talked to Tracy Powers. He said, no, it's up that street there. But Angel View, they are all over the place. And remember, when you donate to Angel View, you're also helping them keep all of these fabulous homes that they have for clients with disabilities going strong. And they are wonderful homes. They do such a great job. So, again, for more information about the Angel View Marts, go to the website angelview.org. Desert Borrego Springs, I don't want you to forget about the Borrego Days Desert Festival, the 52nd annual event. I was just there last week, went to a meeting on Monday. It took me only 70 minutes from Palm Desert to get there. Really simple drive. It is happening on October 20th, 22nd. Book your rooms now at the Borrego Springs Resort and Spa, because this event, we have two bands coming from the Coachella Valley now. We have the Coachella Valley High School Marching Band, and we have the Desert Hot Springs High School Marching Band.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations to both of them.
I know. We're going to have five bands in the parade this year.
Wow.
That's a lot of bands.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Plus, we have street luge, skateboard demonstrations before the parade, go-karts, all sorts of fun stuff coming up this year. So, again, you can, I would just call the Borrego Springs Resort and Spa. Go to their website, BorregoSpringsResort.com. But for more info about the Borrego Days, whalewatching.com. It's that simple. Okay, whale watching. Donna Kalez out there at Dana Wharf Whale Watching. She is posting pictures every day of the different sightings that they have. Definitely, I try to put up many of them on the Traveling with Francois Facebook page. If you haven't liked it, please do so. But there are a lot of them. They're seeing a lot of things out there in the ocean.
I'm sure they are.
A lot of animals out there swimming around. So if you want to go whale watching or sport fishing, they're the ones. They started it all at Dana Wharf and whale watching in Dana Wharf. Definitely check it out. Give them a call. Their information is on the website, and they will get you out there. They'll get you out there on a boat. So lots of fun. And I like the fact, for me, I know the fishing can be half day, all day, and all that sort of stuff, but I like the whale watching. It's just a couple hours. It's plenty. You're not out there forever.
Right.
You know, I mean,
for some, it might be a good kind of baby step just to get out there.
Yeah. I for me, I like that. I'm not one that wants to be floating around all day long. I like get out there, move around, and you're constantly moving until they see something. Then they slow way down and right. watch it, and then they keep moving. So, and they do a good job. So, again, Dana Wharf whale watching. What else did I want to talk to you about? Here's something that's interesting. SeaTac Airport, earlier this month, Seattle Tacoma International Airport began testing a new robot program in conjunction with the American Association of Airport Executives Innovation Forum. Named Tracy, the robot will offer flyers tips for efficient security screening during peak travel times. There you go. You have a robot talking to you. I'm not
sure. The future
sure.
is here.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how many people. Well, yeah, I'm sure people will be fascinated at first, and they'll probably listen and look, but then after a while, they'll just walk right on by the robot. But remember we talked about microchipping people?
Right.
Do you remember that? And I don't have the email with us, but Gina Edwards sent me an article, or she talked to a friend that the work that her friend is employed by, they wanted to start microchipping their employees.
Really?
Yes. So it's happening.
That sounds crazy.
It's not just dogs anymore. It is people. It is happening out there. Okay, this week again is the big solar eclipse. Try not to miss it. It will be here in California in the morning. I will be in Nashville next weekend. Sean and I are both gone for the weekend. When we come back, I didn't book really any guests for the following weekend. I get back from Nashville. I thought we would have plenty to talk about with local events and the trip to Nashville. I'll tell you all the things that happened. And you, of course, watch my Facebook page, Traveling with Francois, because I will be posting pictures, a lot of pictures, about the trip on there and my Francois Roads page. So definitely you want to check that out. And you can get all that through the website, Traveling with Francois. But it is going to be quite fun. And I had to say, and if you are watching the eclipse, everywhere I look and read, it is so important that you have wear the right kind of filtered glasses.
Yes, you can't just look up at it. Some people think because the sun's being blocked that you can just look up, but that's not the case.
No, you can't. You have to have, and not just a regular pair of sunglasses.
No, you need like a welder's mask or something.
Oh, right. Well, and their places are selling now these glasses, the little paper ones that have the set. Remember, and I know there are a few of you are going to go, what? What was that? But negatives for film.
Yeah, I remember.
Everybody would pull out the piece at the end that they never used and use that because it was really strong.
I have some film, I think, laying around the house. I'm going to do that.
Right. And plus, if you, some of these, and they're probably not going to want me saying this, but these places, eye doctors and stuff, have those little really strong plastic lenses to put inside of glasses.
like the they used to show the old ladies have, like,
yes,
in the 80s
exactly.
and 90s. They go over your glasses?
Well, these go underneath. These go behind. They are so strong. I mean, they're black. These things are so dark because it's people that have vision loss. It's to protect their eyes from the sun. So I don't
That's
know. Go on
deal.
Over there and say you need some. Don't tell them I sent you, though, please. Gosh, there we go. They'll be calling me saying, well, who did that? Who is this woman? Everyone, thanks so much for joining us today. We want to thank Jan Harnick in the first hour of the Mayor of Palm Desert. It was great having her on. Brian Kloon, afterwards, we have a winner for the book. Well, I'll make sure I get in touch with you to give you that book, Hollywood Obscura. It's been a lot of fun. Again, we'll return in 2 weeks with a new show. Next week, we'll be replaying a past show. I'm not sure which one I've picked yet. But until then, I'll be in Nashville. Check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and all that. Have a great one. And remember, it's never too late to get a life. See you next time. Bye.